Hello, and welcome to the debate. I'm Mercy Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. While the Saudi government supports terrorism, this is according to Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Now, he says both Saudi Arabia and Qatar are supporting terrorism in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and beyond. Why would two Arab countries want death and destruction to take place in other Arab countries and beyond? Well, stay with us as we zoom in on Riyadh's and Doha's agenda in the Muslim world and beyond. Who benefits?
Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has, in a rare direct attack, held Saudi Arabia and Qatar responsible for the ongoing violence in Iraq. Maliki says Riyadh and Doha are seeking to destabilize his country by supporting terrorist groups morally, politically, and financially. He has accused the two Arab kingdoms of effectively declaring war in Iraq.
I accuse them of inciting and encouraging the terrorist movements. I accuse them of supporting them politically and in the media, to support them with money and to buy weapons for them, and accuse them of leading an open war against the Iraqi government.
Maliki says Saudi Arabia and Qatar have political and religious motives. He believes the two states are spending huge amounts of money to prevent Iraq from becoming a strong regional country once again. The accusations come at a time when Iraq has been grappling with months of insurgency and bombings, targeting both civilians and military forces. The bloodletting has continued, claiming more than 1,800 lives this year alone. Baghdad has repeatedly blamed Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist groups that are backed by certain regional countries for the rampant violence, and the army has been carrying out operations against an Al-Qaeda affiliate, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, in the western province of Anbar. But this is the first time that Maliki has openly named foreign states, accusing them of having a hand in the violence. The Iraqi prime minister even went further by labeling oil-rich Saudi Arabia as a major supporter of global terrorism.
Saudi Arabia supports terrorism against the world: Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Libya, and even in other countries other than Arab countries.
Some analysts are echoing similar remarks, and they say Riyadh's support for terrorism isn't limited to Iraqi territories.
Everybody knows in Iraq, and everybody knows basically in the entire world, that Saudi Arabia is fueling the terrorist atrocities that's taking place not only in Iraq, but in Syria, Lebanon, Yemen.
The Middle East region has seen a growing trend of terror activities over the past 3 years, with Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon most affected. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia and Qatar have publicly voiced support for insurgents fighting the Syrian government, supplying them with funds and arms. There's also ample evidence that the two states are sponsoring terrorist groups operating in Iraq and Lebanon. Deadly bombings targeting Iran's diplomatic mission in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, last November could be an example of Riyadh's alleged support for terrorism. The Abdullah Azzam Brigades and Al-Qaeda offshoot led by a Saudi national claimed responsibility for that attack, which left over 24 people dead. Lebanon captured the ringleader of the Al-Qaeda-linked group, Majid al-Majid, but Beirut later announced the high-profile terrorist had died in a military hospital while receiving medical treatment for kidney failure. Majid's suspicious death left the deadly attack in a cloud of mystery, much to the joy of the international sponsors of the terrorist group.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Beirut, political commentator Mr. Ibrahim Moussaoui, and out of London, Salafi cleric Mr. Anjam Chaudhry. Welcome, both of you, to the program. Starting in London, many experts say that Saudi Arabia is one of the main culprits behind the chaos in some of the Muslim countries. Your perspective on that, sir?
Yes, it's a well-known fact in that the Saudi regime are not implementing the Sharia. It's a monarchy system. And in fact, they will do everything to stop people to rise and call for the Sharia and the Khilafah. Recently, the Saudi regime introduced laws which basically make anyone who criticizes the Saudi regime a terrorist. So the Saudi regime are not going to be supporting Mujahideen, for example, the ISIL or Jabhat al-Nusra or others who are calling for Islam in Syria or in Iraq. Now, what we can see, in fact, is that the Iraqi regime, like the Saudi regime, have been supported by the Americans. There are puppets in the area. Nouri al-Maliki was an American oil company employee before he became in charge in Iraq, just as much as Hamid Karzai was an oil company employee of an American company before he became in charge in Afghanistan. What we in fact find, if you look at the wider picture, is that the Muslims are rising right across the Middle East, including in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, and in Syria. They are calling for the Sharia and they are calling for the Khilafah. The real struggle is not between the Saudi regime and the Iraqi and the Americans or the Syrian or Bashar al-Assad. It's between the Muslims who call for Islam and the Sharia, who are engaging in jihad, and those puppets and those taghut, the oppressors who are in charge in Muslim countries, who are being supported by the West. There's okay. a Shia crest, obviously, we know in the area. Yes.
All right, Mr. Musavi, let me get you in on this interesting comments by our guest in London. I was going to ask you one question, but let me follow up with actually something that he said. He commenting and talking about al-Nusra and ISIL, and he said that these are countries, or these are entities that are actually fighting for Islamic Sharia. And he said that Saudi Arabia actually does not support these entities. Your take, sir.
Well, salamu alaikum and for your guest, but let me say one simple thing. I mean, when we talk about supporting those organizations or not supporting them, when he talks about rising for the Sharia and for the Khilafah, I believe we have, as Muslims, we have a message, we have a clear message that we have to propagate and to relate to the people all over the world. I believe there is a purple, there is a blurred, there is a mix, there is a confusion that is taking place. I don't want to put like question marks on the intentions of the people. But if you go and see the kind of actions that we're seeing, this is distorting the real image of Islam, not only in the eyes of the Westerners. I believe they are doing a lot, and they are spending a lot of budgets, a lot of money in order to distort the image of Islam. Yet I believe the image of Islam is being now confused, and even in the eyes of the Muslims themselves, because of these things that are being done in different places. If we have to go into a certain kind of Islamic awakening, Islamic rising, then we have to have a vision. We have to have a way. We have to have a very clear roadmap in order to reach for a certain goal. We all know very well who are the enemies, the real enemies, where is the top priority, what are kind of things that can bring us together, common denominators. For example, take Palestine and the occupation of Palestine. What's happening to Gaza? What's happening to the Palestinians? I believe a lot of things can be done in this regard rather than going and fighting against each other.
Well, let's look at that, Mr. Chaudhry. What we're looking at, Mr. Musavi talking about basically not fighting each other, but do you think that there is confusion in the Muslim world? When we look at an entity, for example, like Saudi Arabia, that those who sit in power there, like they call themselves basically the keepers of the holiest places in Islam, do you think that that caused some type of confusion sometimes in the minds of many Muslims in seeing the actual role of Saudi Arabia in the Islamic world?
Yes, certainly what we find today is that the Muslim world is divided into over 55 so-called Muslim countries. Now, we used to be united under a Khilafah. For the last 90 years, since the 3rd of March 1924, we have various puppets in charge, we have a monarchy system, we have so-called republican systems. All of these are complete anathema to Islam and Muslims. None of them give sovereignty for Allah, none of them give authority for the Muslims. And of course, the Saudi regime, like all of the regimes, try to present themselves as Islamic. They say that they are the custodians of the two holy places, just as much as the Iranian regime and the Sudanese regime and others. And it is very important for the Muslims worldwide to realize that, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, many of the regimes are now falling. We saw this in Tunisia, we saw it in Libya, we saw it in Yemen, we will see inshallah in Syria as well, and the Sharia and the Khilafah is coming. We are on the brink inshallah of a complete revolution in the Muslim world. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us a window into the unseen in the form of the Quran and in the form of the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that there will be this battle in Syria and in this whole area of Asham, but eventually what we know is the Muslims will prevail, they will remove these dictators, and they will implement the Sharia. So we look forward to this. And of course, okay, you know, there will be confusion. Yes.
All right, Mr. Mousavi, your take. Our guest has talked about many things right now and talk about that the confusion, there is some confusion, but it is clearing up, and especially he used Syria as an example. And we look at the situation once again in Syria. And it's quite interesting to me also, a fellow Muslim, that someone who professed to adhere to a religion of peace would actually be, it's so easy to see the displacement of millions and millions and millions of Syrians and over 100,000 people being killed, and to